Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is sharp radio with smart questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because we're going to be having not one, but two giveaways during this hour for sandwiches or salads from Urbane Cafe. The first giveaway will be in this first segment. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is codes. Each of my segments will discuss a code of some kind or another, the sports code, the code of conduct, or the tax code. My first guest is the author of over 50 sports books, and he'll give us life lessons of values and integrity from the sports world that we can then take to the business world from his The Code trilogy of books, the Football Code, The Code Baseball, and The Code of Hockey. My second segment is something new. It's a call-in segment. Several listeners have requested this. I'll open up the mic to let callers express what's on their mind, and we'll take a look at all the topics that you want to tackle. My third guest will make a compelling case to abolish profit taxes for corporations, in a particularly difficult argument to make in the face of mounting deficits and budget controversies. We'll discuss his book, Abolish Profit Taxes. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Big shout out to my friend Sam, who is driving down to the airport with his parents to pick up his sister. Sam, if you're listening, drive safely and listen to this first segment. You're going to like it because my first guest is a real sports aficionado. Ross Bernstein is the best-selling author of nearly 50 sports books. Ross has appeared on television and radio programs, including CNN and ESPN, as well as in the pages of The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, and USA Today. Ross is a motivational keynote speaker who uses sports as a metaphor for life and for business. Ross grew up in a small town in southern Minnesota called Fairmont, and he went on to attend the University of Minnesota. After a failed attempt to make it as a walk-on in the university's top-ranked Golden Gophers hockey team, Ross opted for the next best thing, and that was to become the team's mascot, Goldie the Gopher. In 1997, Ross took a leap of faith to pursue his dream of becoming a full-time sports writer. Ross and his wife have been married for 15 years. They have a 7-year-old daughter. They presently reside in Eagan, Minnesota. He's also an avid golfer, an avid skier, and he runs and has run 6 marathons to date, although he is still trying to break the 4-hour finishing time. Welcome to the show, Ross. How are you today?
I'm doing great. That was good. Quite an intro. That was awesome. Thank you.
Well, it's nothing more than your life. All I'm doing is just relaying what it was. And you were Goldie the Gopher. I thought that was an interesting fallback position that you had from your hockey career.
My claim to fame, I aspired to be a giant rodent. Yeah, mom and dad were so proud.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I got cut from the team, and they said, well, you can be the mascot. And there were two criteria. You had to be a decent skater and a complete idiot. And I apparently fit on both accounts, and I got the gig. And actually wrote my first book as a senior in college called Gopher Hockey by the Hockey Gopher, and 50 books later, here I am talking to you, so go figure.
Go figure. But 50 books, quite an accomplishment. You've written so many sports books, and you definitely, a theme pervades all of your books, that champions have a certain code by which they live, and it comes throughout all of your books. So what are some of life's lessons on value and integrity that can be learned in the sports world that we can then transfer to either the business world or our general living world?
Well, you're right. There are unique qualities. And let me just preface it by saying I did these three books called The Code, which you talked about, and it was really interesting. I spent over 5 years, and I interviewed over 1,000 professional athletes,
wow,
coaches, general managers, and it was I was really inspired by the iconic book Good to Great, about how they were able to whittle down all these companies into what makes the great ones great. And really, I tried to do that model for sports. So in writing these books about all these codes, about all these unwritten, unspoken rules, the things that leads to guys getting drilled in baseball or a fight in hockey, I saw patterns and tendencies and trends about these unique characteristics that were common among what I call champions in sports. And I always say champions in sports aren't necessarily people who've won championships. I mean, Barry Sanders never won a thing for the Detroit Lions, but Barry is definitely one of the most respected, most person of most integrity in football because of the way he conducted himself. And, you know, a guy like Barry, what did he do when he scored a touchdown? I mean, he didn't dance. He didn't taunt some cornerback. He handed the ball to the referee, acted like he'd been there before. And then in the post-presser, he would acknowledge his line mates. They would say, why did you get the touchdown? He would pass along all the credit to others. So you start to see these trends and patterns and tendencies that are common among different individuals, different men and women in all the sports, and I've been able to turn that into a program, and it's been really fascinating just to learn about what makes the great ones great.
Well, it's interesting because in reading your books and doing the preparation for this interview, I got a real sense that there's a code of honor in sports that sort of pervades all sports, whether it is hockey or baseball or football or whatever it might be. And it's very similar to the code of ethics that you have in the military services, like the Marine Code of Ethics and so forth. Let's go through what I'm starting to see it develop as the code of honor. What are some of the characteristics that you have found in these 1,000-plus athletes that you have interviewed that really constitute a code of ethics?
Well, it really boils down to the old golden rule that we learned as kids about treating others the way you'd want to be treated, and really down to one word, respect. And if you have respect for the game, respect for your teammates, respect for the opposition, respect for authority with the officials, respect for the coaching staff, you're going to be a champion. And it's when people start disrespecting those things that there's problems. I mean, in hockey, they don't allow you to wear face masks for a reason. Their code is very sacred. There's these unwritten, unspoken rules or codes. And you don't wear a face mask because if you do something filthy, if you disrespect someone, if you take liberties with a smaller player, if you run a guy from behind, you're going to lose some teeth. You're going to learn a very valuable lesson about playing the game honest, about playing the game the right way, with respect. A huge enforcer is going to come off the bench and challenge you, and you've got to take your medicine. Your own teammates won't open the bench and let you back on if you do something dirty, because the wheels of retaliation will be set into motion. So you've got to answer the bell, and you've got to be accountable. That's why sometimes I kind of wish in football they didn't wear face masks. You know, go back to the old leatherheads, because you wouldn't see a 5'9" cornerback dancing in the end zone taunting some guy after he just scored on him. He'd get pummeled. So hockey by far has the most historic and honorable code. Baseball certainly is a close second when you look at why the pitchers have to drill guys. If they're stealing signs, if they're doing, running up the score, pimping a home run, different things. But it's fascinating how really every sport has its own code, and it has its own way of dealing with those who break the codes. And it's the same in business. I mean, we saw what happened with Enron and Fannie and Freddie and AIG and Lehman Brothers and Bernie Madoff. I mean, if you cheat or take shortcuts, there are going to be consequences.
There are. And my guest is Ross Bernstein, author of the Code Sports Book Trilogy. And Ross, I want to challenge you, though, a little bit about what you've just been saying, because one of the things that you list in your Code of Honor is a killer instinct. So how can you have respect for the game and have a killer instinct at the same time? Help me reconcile those two.
Well, in my program, I have a very visual PowerPoint, and I talk about killer instinct. And the slide I show is actually of Michael Jordan. And I talk about how a killer instinct is, and the example I use is in 1989, the shot. This is before Michael had really established himself as a world champion. This was against Cleveland in the playoffs, and they were this rising team, and the score's tied at 9-9. And with 1 second left, Michael tells Coach Jackson, "I want the ball." And, they drew up a play in that triangle, he got the ball and he drilled it and they won, and they of course would go on to win a championship and 6 world championships, and we know the rest of the story. But as I've seen from all this research, champions tend to have that killer instinct. They want the ball with the game on the line. So, you're either the hero or you're the goat, and it's fascinating. But as I found, champions typically tend to want it. They've got that killer instinct.
Wow. My guest is Ross Bernstein. Ross, we got to do a little business. I'm going to open up the phone line, 639-0008. Be the third caller at 639-0008. You'll win two sandwiches or two salads to Urbane Cafe, two locations here in Ventura County, one in Oxnard, the intersection of Rose and Gonzalez. The other is in the Barnes & Noble Shopping Plaza here in Ventura on Telephone Road. 639-0008, be the third caller, and those sandwiches are yours just in time for lunch. Now back to you, Ross. You are my guest here, and I would agree, you know, the greats. And you mentioned Michael Jordan. I would certainly put him up there. Every sport has their greats. I think of Bart Starr, who's been a guest on this show before, in football. Gordie Howe, the great Gordie Howe in hockey. Greg Maddux in baseball. These guys, class acts all the way, and they represent the code of honor that you're talking about. However, there is a segment of sports figures who also disobey the rules, and I'm going to throw Pete Rose into that category. Baseball players who use steroids, who juice it. Michael Vick is another one. So how do you reconcile these two very disparate groups of players within the same sporting community?
Well, it's funny. I talk about all those people in my program. I have a new series of books they're called Raising Stanley, Raising Lombardi. I talked to Bart for that book. Interviewing more champions, and I could only ask him about those championship seasons. They were really fascinating. But I have a slide of Michael Phelps and show him winning his 8th gold medals in Beijing, and then I show Michael smoking a bong. And I talk about how, you know, I talk about social media strategy, about what's on your Facebook page right now, and about how everyone can be paparazzi, and about how you got to really think about what you're doing. I talk about Michael Vick and how he had disrespected, you know, the game and humanity by doing what he did. But I also talk about how we're a very forgiving society. We see what Michael is doing now with Philadelphia, and Nike took him back, and you know, we're a society where we love to break people down, we love to build them back up. Yeah. And you can definitely rehabilitate yourself. And I talk about all the people in steroids. I talk about Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds and Floyd Landis and Marion Jones, Ben Johnson, and then I show Roger Clemens. And, you know, the interesting thing about, and it is cheating, make no mistake, performance-enhancing drugs is cheating because it's against the rules and it's against the law. But but guys are always going to push the limit. I recently spoke at a steroids and sports conference in Kentucky, and I heard from an official from UWADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency. These are the guys that literally stand there while you pee in a cup. And, you know, one of the guys said, in his opinion, it would be physically impossible to win the Tour de France without doping. So I think all the allegations of Lance Armstrong, I think eventually we're going to see what happens. Who knows? But a lot of guys have cheated and been busted. And one thing we found with regards to Roger Clemens is, you know, Roger just vehemently denied it. He threw his, you know, his wife had allegedly taken human growth hormone, but he didn't. So, you know, they're accusing him of lying to a congressional hearing. So we're going to see what happens. But conversely, you look at his old teammate Andy Pettit. Andy just said, you know what, I did it.
Yeah.
And you know what? No one cared. And he said, you know what? I'm a pitcher. I'm not taking it to get huge and hit home runs. I'm just taking it to stay healthy so I can pitch every 3 or 4 days. And everyone said, okay, thank you. And when you deny it, people go crazy. So there's a life lesson somewhere in there too. But the bottom line with steroids is, yes, it's cheating. Yes, it's illegal. We need to rid it out of the game. When you look at what the folks up at Balco were doing with genetically engineering the cream and the clear and all these different types of you know, molecular gene alleles to find performance enhancing drugs. I mean, they're 10 steps ahead of where the testing is. So hopefully they can, as time goes on, resolve it, because it's definitely cheating and it's an unfair advantage.
Oh, no doubt about it. My guest is Ross Bernstein, author of the Code Sports Book Trilogy. We're talking about sports. So, Ross, I want to come back to you. Of all the lessons that you've learned from interviewing all of these people, what do you think is the one that stands out as the most important lesson that you need to take away from all of this?
Wow. Well, that's a great question. There's so many different, common denominators. But, you know, I think for me, the most common denominator amongst all the champions, in addition to just playing with respect, is just hard work. There's just absolutely no substitute for hard work. I talk a lot about Peyton Manning when I talk about hard work, and I just talk about his work ethic. You know, granted, sure, Peyton has amazing God-given ability and thoroughbred lineage coming. His father was Archie Manning, NFL quarterback. His brother Eli won a Super Bowl, but there's no substitute. I mean, while other guys are out having fun, Peyton's studying. He's breaking down film. He's learning audibles. He's studying poker tells, the trends, the tendencies, cover two, cover three, the nickel, the dime. He's looking. He's constantly studying. When he lines up and calls an audible, he puts fear into his defenders because they know he's seen something that's going to tell him, you know what, they're doing this because a linebacker shifted here, or a guy's, you know, fingertips turned from pink to white, and he's leaning this way or the other, and he knows he'll get single coverage over here if he does this. And you know, that's what it's all about. The successful corporations, the Googles, the Apples, this is what they're doing. They're studying the competition. I mean, professional athletes spend 95% of their time studying, breaking down film, working with coaches on nutrition and core exercise and balance. And if you're a quarterback, you got a quarterback coach and a strength coach. And you know, how many people have coaches? No one has coaches. So there's a reason professional athletes make millions of dollars and they rise to the cream rises to the top, because they're constantly working, constantly studying, breaking down film, studying trends and patterns. And this is truly what makes them great, and it's the same in business, it's the same in life, and I think for me that was the big takeaway.
Hard work, that's a great lesson to learn. Ross, I got to interrupt you here. We have an unusual circumstance. The third caller that called in, you called in and you hung up just before we could get your name and your telephone number for the Urbane Cafe certificates. So please call back. We'll pick that up from you. Sorry to interrupt there, Ross, but you have had such an interesting life. Over 1,000 athletes and coaches that you've interviewed. Your forte is hockey, so I'm going to stick with hockey for just a minute here. You've had the opportunity to interview some really great players, the great Gordie Howe, Brett Hull, Phil Esposito, the great coach Scotty Bowman. As a hockey aficionado, which person ranks the highest in your esteem as a hockey personality?
Well, no question. As a child, I had a full-blown man crush on Wayne Gretzky. My room was covered in Wayne posters, and I got to meet him later in life. He actually wrote a foreword for a book I wrote one time, and it was just such a thrill. You know, I love working with hockey players because hockey players, they're just normal dudes. When they get rich, they don't have posses and fleets of BMWs. They buy, like, pickups and fishing boats, and maybe when they sign the big contract, they buy a cabin or a cottage up north. You know, they come from very humble backgrounds, and they know they got to work their butts off and do whatever it takes and assume whatever role is asked of them, because if they don't, they're going to wind up back in the farm in Moose Jaw or the salt mine Medicine Hat or wherever it is they come from, and they're just the most down-to-earth people. And you know, I'm fortunate. I love working with professional athletes, and I talk a lot in my programs about passion, and professional athletes are so passionate about what they do. Their whole life is focused on reaching this pinnacle and staying there, and I've just found, you know, hockey players are just the most down-to-earth. I mean, I'm media. I have press passes for all the different sporting events, and I'm media with the Minnesota Wild, and I find myself most comfortable in the locker room with those guys, and maybe because I was kind of one of them, I can play and stuff, but still, I just find it very enjoyable, and they're just salt of the earth people.
Well, without a doubt, and that carries over into your personal life, because you're the chairperson of the Herb Brooks Foundation. Now, some of my listeners may remember the name Herb Brooks somewhere in the back of their memory there, but they don't know exactly where they heard it. Who was Herb Brooks? What does the foundation do, and why is it so near and dear to your heart?
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, Herbie, yeah, what an amazing guy. He was my hero as a kid. I mean, I met him as a 10-year-old right after the Miracle on Ice at his hockey camp, and I was actually working on a book with Herb for about a year prior to his tragic death on August 11, 2003, and was golfing with him that morning and helped create the Herb Brooks Foundation. I'm president of the board of directors, and we're all about growing the game and just giving more opportunities to more boys and girls across America to grow the game. That was Herbie's passion. So we have a training institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis where I live, and the U.S. Women's Olympic team trains up here, and it's just all about giving the game back. And I've written two books about Herbie. One of the new ones called America's Coach, and Mike Ruzioni and Jim Craig wrote the foreword.
Oh, wow.
Proceeds benefit the foundation. So it's a great... It's just a great cause, and it's just something I believe really near and dear in. And I have a whole keynote program. I talk about Herbie and the miracle, and about creating your own miracles. And you know, I always talk about, you know, that iconic line from Al Michaels: "Do you believe in miracles?" And for your listeners who maybe aren't familiar, this is the 1980 U.S. Olympic gold medal winning hockey team that, of course, upset the Soviets in the semis and then beat the Finns. And it was, you know, it was just this. It was named as the sports achievement of the 20th century. So it was just a huge deal. And
No, I was just going to say, and it is a miracle on ice, but more than that, it's really an accomplishment of a team and shows what a team can do. Ross, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry we're out of time. It just goes so fast. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about your books and so forth, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
RossBernsteinSpeaking.com or BernsteinBooks.com.
You want to spell in that for my listeners, please?
Sure, BERNSTEIN books.com or RossBernsteinSpeaking.com.
Oh, that is great. Ross, thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Cheers.
Take care.